What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Now let's kick this thing off.
Alex Taub is the founder and CEO of Upstream. They just raised a massive round. And we talk a lot about DAOs and the various instances of what's going on in that vertical of crypto. I really enjoyed this conversation with Alex, and I hope that you do as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. Today's episode is brought to you by Pipe. Crypto is all about giving the power back to the people, and our sponsor, Pipe, is doing that in a big way. Pipe is the world's first trading platform that allows you to trade recurring revenue streams for upfront capital. And with Pipe's new API, companies with recurring revenue can build seamless, embedded financing options into their platforms. One of the most interesting uses for Pipe's new API right now is Compass Mining's Mine Now, Pay Later, which powers payment plans on Bitcoin mining hardware so more miners can start or scale with a smaller upfront investment. Whether you're looking for mining hardware or scaling any business with recurring revenue, check out Pipe to access growth capital with no loans, no dilution, no restrictive covenants or warrants, just growth on your terms. And right now, Pomp Podcast listeners can access tens of thousands of dollars, even millions, fee-free for 12 months. Whether you are a Bitcoin mining company looking to enable financing for your customers, or a SaaS, DTC, or any business that has recurring revenue, sign up at pipe.com/pomp. Again, pipe.com/pomp to start trading today. Today's episode is brought to you by Exodus, the world's leading desktop, mobile, and hardware crypto wallet. They offer beautiful, user-friendly blockchain products that sync across all of your devices, making it easier to send, receive, and exchange over 150 or more crypto assets in one place. And with world-class customer service available to you 24/7, Exodus always has your back. But the fun doesn't stop with staking and trading. They recently launched a new NFT marketplace where you can buy and sell your favorite NFTs on the Solana network. By partnering with the popular NFT platform Magic Eden, they're offering the full Monty on verified collections, with more added every single day. Ready to check it out for yourself? Run, don't walk, over to exodus.com/pomp for your free download today. Again, if you want the world's leading desktop, mobile, and hardware crypto wallet, go to exodus.com/pomp today. Today's episode is sponsored by Abra. They're based in California, and they're backed by top VC firms. Abra is an all-in-one, simple, secure app that allows you to trade over 110 cryptocurrencies, get 0% interest loans using your crypto as collateral, and earn interest with up to 13% APY on stablecoins and 7.15% APY on Bitcoin. You can join nearly 2 million users by downloading Abra from the Google Play or Apple App Store. If you download the app today, you will get $15 in free crypto once you fund your account. You came, you invested, now conquer. Abra, conquer crypto. Go check it out today. All right, let's get in this episode. I hope you guys enjoyed this one.
Anthony Pompliano runs Pomp Investments. All views of him and the guests on his podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Pomp Investments. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp or his guests as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his personal opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
We've got a special treat. We've got Alex Taub joining us from Upstream. Alex, how are you?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Last time I saw you, we were talking about Zed Run and potentially getting into the horse racing game in the digital world. This time, I want to talk to you about DAOs. What the hell is a DAO? Everyone keeps talking to me about DAOs, and I'm like, look, man, I don't know. Let me find somebody who can tell me all about DAOs. So here you are. What the hell is a DAO?
Yeah. So actually, out of all the like the complex crypto blockchain concepts, I think DAOs are probably the one of the more easier ones for like a regular person to understand.
So you're calling me it's stupid. Really... Okay.
No. But it's really like conceptually, imagine you and, nine friends all put $100 into a bank account. And then so now you had $1,000. And then what you did is you made proposals on what to use that money for. And then you voted on them and then you executed based on the vote. So let's say you and nine friends put $100 into a bank account. So now you have $1,000. And then you said, okay, you made a proposal to go out to, sushi in Miami. And like, let's say only three of you were based in Miami. The seven other people are probably not going to vote for that. They're not going to want their money being used for that. So what they'll do is they'll probably vote against it. It probably won't pass. But maybe you made a proposal that everyone wanted to do. Maybe you wanted to buy a digital asset. Maybe you wanted to buy an NFT. Maybe you wanted to buy a digital horse. And you made a proposal for that, and then it passed, and then you execute on it, and then you sort of collectively own it. So DAOs have become really popular recently because, well, initially it became really popular around collectibles, being able to sort of collectively put money together to buy things that potentially individually they couldn't buy. But now they're becoming even bigger because a lot of people believe this year that DAOs are going to explode in the similar way that NFTs exploded in 2021. And I think right now in the next sort of 3 to 6 months, some of these use cases are going to sort of pop up. The most popular one right now is like these investment clubs, where it's like, you know, sub 100 people, sub like $25 million, where you're sort of pooling money together and you're buying digital things. But this is a really sort of exciting new way to organize as a company, you know, as a sort of like a potential future LLC replacement.
When you think about this, what, give me an example of a DAO that we can talk through, like how it exactly works. What's one that you think is super interesting?
So it's funny, the ones that are like the more public ones, they're not really DAOs. So
okay,
like
explain Constitution that. Why? DAO. Why do you say that?
So Constitution DAO never became a DAO really. And the reason I say that is because I contributed to Constitution DAO. I never voted on anything. So it sort of became this, and maybe if Constitution DAO, they actually won the Constitution, it would have evolved into a proper DAO. But it just became sort of a weird alternative, like sort of crowdfunding, where like everyone pulled together money and then they didn't deliver anything. But so in terms of like a DAO you probably would understand is more like an investment club is probably the most popular one right now. So you and a handful of people pooling money together, and let's say you and 20 friends, you all put in $5,000, and now you go and decide you want to bid on things and buy things and own them collectively. That's probably the most popular and pretty easy to understand how it works. And you know, DAOs in and of themselves aren't legally anything. So if you set up a sort of a DAO right now, the US does not recognize it as anything. So it will sort of be looked as a general partnership. So a lot of people wrap it in LLCs or C corps, or if there's other ways to do it, you could there's a popular like UNA structure that Andreessen Horowitz put out there, where a UNA stands for an unregistered nonprofit association. It's really like sort of seeking 501 status. Actually, probably the most popular one recently is Ape Coin, which just launched last week. And Ape is a foundation. So it might have been a UNA at one point, but they're seeking at least 501c3 status, foundation status. So this is all just like really cutting edge in terms of blockchain and ways to sort of coordinate and pull money together.
When you start to think about this, what is the perfect use case for a DAO, right? Like you're talking about buying collectibles, et cetera. Let's fast forward 25 years. Like where do you think this ends up? Is every company replaced with a DAO? Is every investment club now a DAO? Do we say, okay, DAOs actually are only used for one very, very specific use case and everything else was all bullshit? Like where do you come out on this?
Let's do like a year or two in the future, or okay. Let's say 5 years in the future, and then let's do 20 years. In 5 years, I think one of the most interesting use cases are around nonprofits. Like you contribute to a nonprofit right now, you don't really know like how they're using the money or anything. DAOs give this like—
Well, I just assume they're getting rich.
Probably. But like, so I actually, let me take a step back, because the best way to think about the way that we sort of approach it at Upstream and the way that I think about it is it's the future of community. So community 1.0 was like very much IRL. So it was like, where were you born? I was born in New York. I'm a Knicks fan. You know, that's not the greatest thing right now, but I'm a Knicks fan. You know, you're born in Brazil, you might be a fan of the Brazil national team. You're born in LA, you might be a Lakers fan. You go to a certain school, you're friends with people in that school, you grow up in a certain community, and maybe you're part of a certain religion. So you go to a certain church or synagogue or mosque. That's like community 1.0. It's very IRL. Community 2.0 is like, we call it URL. It's online interest-based groups. It's Reddit, it's Discord, it's Facebook groups, it's Twitter groups, it's LinkedIn groups, it's Slack, WhatsApp, Telegram. I mean, the list goes on and on. And it's like, if you have an interest, like a singular interest, you will find someone on the internet with that same interest. I have yet to find an interest where it's, you're the only person in the world that has that. So that's like community 2.0. And then in terms of the promise of community 3.0 or like, you know, Web 3 in general, is it's not just IRL, it's not just URL, it's both, it's ownership. So now instead of, you know, funding an admin of a community to make a bunch of decisions, you're funding the community directly, you're getting ownership in it, you're getting transparency, you're getting upside, and you're sort of have the ability to know what's happening. So the reason I took a step back and explained that is because a nonprofit, I could totally see in a few years from now, the ability, you know, I donate to a certain nonprofit and I can see exactly they're making proposals, the people who are contributing have a say in what happens. I think that could be really cool. 20 years from now, I think it could be looked at as like, you look at your local government, right? You pay tax. Well, I mean, we're in Miami now, so we don't pay some of those taxes, but you pay taxes and, you know, seeing how much money is in the local government treasury and the decisions that they're making and having that on the blockchain and being transparent and being a vote, you know, a tax paying citizen and be able to make votes. Why not? Why not 20 years from now that like, it's all on the blockchain, it's all transparent. Corruption is like, if it's not on the blockchain, is it corrupt? I don't know. You know, like is someone trying to hide something? So there's a lot of potential here.
So when we think about this, obviously this stuff's super complex. Like, you need wallets, you need voting, you need all this stuff. And in the DAOs that I've seen, or I've, you know, peeked my head into some of these discourse, madness, chaos. Like, it's like getting, you know, a bunch of four-year-olds in a preschool to come together and try to make decisions. Like, it's literally madness. And that's not because the people, it's just the nature of when you have 500 or 1,000 people all trying to make a decision together, you begin to realize why corporations that need organization, clarity, leadership, et cetera, they chose to go with a hierarchical structure. Like, hey, that person makes the decision, these people help execute it. And so when you think about that, how are technology, I know this is kind of what you guys are doing with Upstream, yeah, in that you have this like DAO in a box, but like, how do you start to use technology to address the complexity and kind of chaos that happens when you just put a bunch of people into an organization without that hierarchical structure or some of the things that corporations have used for, you know, at this point, centuries now to figure out?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. And sort of, I look back at like the decision-making process of like how we got here, because we were thinking about the future of community since we started. The whole idea of Upstream was like the future of professional community. And like sometime last summer, we started to think through like, what is the Web3 community play? And very quickly, it was very obvious that it was a DAO. So we sort of look at the landscape and we saw, all right, starting a DAO right now is pretty complex in terms of the it's not that it's necessarily complex. It's that it's sort of like starting a website in the 1990s. Like you could do it, probably had to pay someone out the wazoo to do it. But like the number of people who could actually build websites was much smaller. And there wasn't a, you know, Shopify or Squarespace or Wix or even WordPress to building websites or blogs or whatever. So the first thing we noticed is that it's really hard to start a DAO. The second thing we noticed was that even once you started a DAO, all the tooling for it was really fragmented. You're using like Aragon for governance and Snapshot for voting and, you know, Discord for the community and communication and Collabland for token gating and, you know, Juicebox for the treasury. And the list sort of goes on and on. And we said, okay, the opportunity here is building a sort of no or low code and then full stack. So everything in one place, sort of DAO in a box that you could spin it up really quickly. So that's what we initially launched in mid-November. And, you know, the announcement last 2 weeks was we raised our Series A about 12.5 million. But in terms of answering your question, one of the things that we just released, that's, we haven't really even done a blog post about it yet, but if you use the product, you know it because it's sort of live in there, is we have something called dynamic delegation. So if anyone here has ever bought, but at a certain point when you bought a .eth domain, so, you know, I have like, you know, ataub, alextaub, .eth or whatever. ENS domains basically airdropped people the governance token. And you had the option when you claimed it to either keep your vote or delegate your vote. It was sort of an all or nothing. And that's cool. That's great. But what we did is we launched something called dynamic delegation. And what that does is that allows you to, you know, keep, you know, portions of your vote, delegate portions of your vote. So for example, if I want to keep, you know, my votes around, you know, adding people to the multi-sig wallet, I can keep that. But if I want to add just members to the DAO, I can delegate my vote to my friend Sarah. If I want to keep, you know, all my votes for any proposals that have to do with 5 ETH or above, you know, that, you know, I can keep that, but under 5 ETH, I can give it to someone else. And we think that's going to be a big change. You know, that plus the ability to vote from your phone, which is something we also released. So mobile voting, the combination of those two things will allow for, you know, the decision makers to get the power they need to move quicker, the more active people. So you don't have to just chase people to whip votes. I mean, that's not the whole point of a DAO. The whole point of a DAO, you know, is not to make it more complicated to do things. It's supposed to get transparency and consensus in a much better way. So we have some things we're working on to help on that.
Joe, John, what questions you guys got?
Alex, what's going on, man? Question would be around just DAOs being labeled as a security. This is obviously a longstanding argument between people as to whether it could or potentially not be labeled a security by regulators. What are your just general thoughts on that?
It's a great question. There's a lot of DAOs are really bespoke right now. And what I mean by that is, like, we're walking through the legal side of like 4 different types of DAOs. One is like an investment club. So an investment club is under 100 people, under 25 million. There's no, that's not a security. You go above 100 people, or you're, you know, there's certain things you can do. So you, to do a investment club, you wrap it in an LLC, and then you either can issue K-1s to everyone, or you can tax it as a corporation. Then we're doing one that's like a university. There's a bunch of people who own a bunch of land in Sandbox, and they're starting something. I don't want to say the name publicly because I don't know if they're like announced yet, but basically they're starting a university in the metaverse. If, you know, there's a model, like you look at NYU, NYU owns a bunch of land in New York. They have a university, they're a nonprofit. So there's the nonprofit association or a UNA. Obviously there's some things you can't do. You can't distribute profits. You can't issue dividends, but like you can hire people and have them be professors in the metaverse university. We have one where we're working with a corporation that wants to do something that's like a collaboration DAO, where the members of the DAO are working on a new brand. This is a clothing brand, and that brand is going to be their like partner and supply the stuff. But the people in the DAO are going to vote on what the outfits that they're going to be sort of creating. So in terms of the security stuff, no, I haven't seen any case law yet that like someone has gone after specifically the Howey test, because there's one piece of the Howey test that like might not apply to DAOs. And there's just no case. For example, I think it's the 4th, and I'm not quoting it exact, but it's like investing in an enterprise, and, you know, but the 4th piece is something around like the other's work as opposed to your own work. And in DAOs, it is your own work because you're involved and you own a percentage. So I think someone will probably try to take and figure out if the Howey test applies to DAOs. But in the meantime, if you want to be the most conservative and you want to be the most in line with what like the legal sort of precedent is you need to wrap the DAO in something that exists in current reality, because if you don't, you're just opening yourself for personal liability. If it's looked as, because it's not illegal in and of itself to just like have a DAO, but it could be let's say you do an investment club with like 5 friends, and there's a dispute. There's no if you have an LLC, there's limited liability, but if not, it looks as a general partnership, and they can go after your house, your car, whatever they want. Now they might not get that, but they can do it. So that's how we've been looking at some of these smaller groups of like investment clubs.
Gotcha. And one quick follow-up question off of that would just be around the LLCs, yeah. Right? So is this something where one person owns the LLC and essentially controls the DAO, or is the LLC essentially like fractionalized like we see in collectibles?
Yeah. So the way that I've seen them so far is that you'll set up an LLC, and then you'll also set up an, you'll set up an entity. It doesn't have to be an LLC. It could be, there's a bunch of different entities. You'll set up an entity, and then you'll also set up an operating agreement. And that operating agreement will dictate how the DAO works. Are we just listening to the DAO? You might want just one person's name on the LLC. You might want multiple people. You probably put it in the operating agreement. Eventually, what we want to do is we want to productize that and make it something that, like, when you set it up, like, legally, we don't have to require it. It can be optional. It could be recommended. Hey, like, we don't recommend you running a DAO without setting up an operating agreement with all the members in the DAO. But legally, we're also like a front end experience for it. So, like, we're not holding anyone's money. The DAO is truly decentralized. We're just like a nice front end experience for the DAO. Our sort of logic behind it is, most people don't know how to launch a smart contract. Most people don't know how to interact with a smart contract. 99.999 people will never learn how to launch a contract or how to interact with a smart contract. So you need like a web 2.5 feel for it to actually use it properly. But it is truly decentralized. The people who are in the DAO own it completely. If you, in theory, wanted to go somewhere else, take it somewhere else, just interact with the contract directly, we have no control over it. So, you know, in terms of us, like, we don't want to put ourselves in the middle of the legal stuff, but we do want to help all the DAOs that start do it correctly and do it properly.
John, what you got for us?
Alex, what are your thoughts around the governance structure and governance tokens and their use within DAOs?
Yeah, it's a hot topic right now. You know, ApeCoin launched last week. You know, I have an NFT project called Illuminati NFT that I launched with a few friends. And a big piece of it was 50% of the mint is going into a DAO. That's mostly set up right now. We're going to be launching it probably in the next, we need a little bit of design work for the DAO token. I think there's two ways to go about it right now. One is you could do what like ApeCoin did, is, and you say, okay, there's X amount of tokens, you know, a billion tokens. And then, you know, there's different tokenomics. X percentage goes to holders, and X percentage is in the public market, and X percentage goes to the team or investors. My personal thoughts on that is that those type of things, while it creates some liquidity, it gets a little bit weird in terms of, I don't want to say weird, but the people in the DAO could also not be holders of the NFT. Yep. So someone could just go buy ApeCoin. That's fine. That's cool. What we're doing on the Illuminati one is a little bit different, where we're going to be, you know, initially from the jump, it was 50% of the mint is going into the DAO. So there's like 1,000 ETH sitting there waiting for the DAO to start. And what we're going to be doing is giving people a token. That is, if you own the Illuminati NFT, you'll agree to the terms and the bylaws of the DAO, and you'll get a token. You'll be able to claim a token, and that token will be your voting power in the DAO. So if you have one Illuminati NFT, you get one Illuminati NFT DAO token. So the idea there is that, like, it's not like you're getting 10,000 tokens and you sell 5,000 of them. Like, you know what I mean? That to me is like, other people are going to be voting on how to use our money in the DAO for the members of the NFT, you know, of the community. So there's a few ways to go about it. We happen to be going about it a different way, but I think will be better for the holders of Illuminati NFT, because they'll be able to actually control what happens with that money.
Alex, when you start to think about this, my last question for you is, as people come in, this idea of like providing infrastructure, what's your vision for Upstream over the next, you know, 3, 4, 5 years? Is it that DAOs have to explode, you guys are that infrastructure, and then that's really the value proposition here, or is it something else?
Yeah, I think in the next 6 to 9 months, someone will emerge as the OpenSea or the Coinbase or the Robinhood of DAOs. I think investment clubs in and of themselves are a little too niche for mainstream. Like, there will be an NBA Top Shot moment for DAOs, you know, and when I say NBA Top Shot moment, I mean, you know, this was like end of 2020, beginning of 2021. And it just became like, NBA IP is like super recognizable. You can come in really easily. You didn't have to understand crypto, and you could go buy this moment, and it exploded. And that led to the apes, and that led to the cats, and that led to all these other things. So I think there is going to be an NBA Top Shot moment for DAOs. It probably could have been Constitution DAO, I think, if done a little differently. But something will happen and there will be, I just think the use case is not fully there yet. And I think the next sort of 3 to 6 months, 3 to 9 months, people are just going to throw things against the wall. I think like NFT projects, like if I go and sell $1 million worth of, you know, fuzzy flamingos, and I say that 10% of that is going to go into a DAO for the community, I think that's a really interesting use case where the community can now control what happens with that $100,000. And I think that might, you know, take off. But if you look at the sizing of the DAO market, it's like $10 billion. I'd say like 90% of that, probably maybe even more, is like DeFi stuff related DAOs, which is totally fine. It's massive. It's great. But it's not really consumer. And I would say like the rest of it is like a mix of, you know, consumer to, you know, single purpose DAOs to, you know, maybe investment clubs and things like that. And I think for it to take off in a similar way to NFTs, that's the pie that needs to grow exponentially. So what we want to do is we want to throw as many things at the wall as possible, because the space is a multi-trillion dollar space and it doesn't really matter who's first, who figures out that initial use case that explodes. It's, you know, who builds the best product and continues to delight their customers and make them happy. So, you know, I'm excited for more people to get in the space, and, you know, someone will figure out that killer use case for DAOs.
I love that idea. One of our sponsors is 8Sleep, Miami company, just like Upstream. What do you think about 8Sleep? You got any sleep schedule changes since the last time we talked?
Man, my sleep is terrible. I probably need to buy 8Sleep.
Come on, man.
All right, I got, what is it, Pomp the code? I'll go.
You
gotta
get money off. By the way, that's free alpha right there. If you use 8sleep.com/pomp, you get money off. So wow. Don't say I never did anything for you. Now you're going to sleep good and have more money in your pocket. A little extra change for a DAO investment that you're going to make.
I'll buy another NFT.
All right, where can we send people to find you on the internet or find Upstream?
Yeah, personally, I'm AJT on Twitter. And then Upstream is upstreamapp.com, or I think it's @ join Upstream on Twitter. Thanks for having me here.
Dude, super excited about this. Thank you so much for coming. You now are my DAO expert. Whenever I have questions, you're coming back to tell us all about DAOs. And next time people do some crazy shit with DAOs, you're definitely coming back to explain why we should or should not participate in the Constitution DAO and then have Ken Griffin front run us and buy the DAO instead.
Tell him,
yeah,
Ken,
we got this. That's something that definitely needs to change for DAOs is like, you know, showing your hand in poker, like you can't.
Yo, rich guy, we got 44 million. He's like, cool, I got 45.
Exactly.
All right, buddy, sounds good. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, take care.
Later. See you guys. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. I really hope you guys enjoyed this one. Make sure you're subscribed on Apple, Spotify, or your favorite podcast player. And if you're looking to try to transition to get a new job in the Bitcoin or crypto industry, we've got you covered. Head over to pompscryptocourse.com. We've developed a curriculum with the top teams across the industry. It's a 3-week intensive training program with over 50 events packed into that 3-week time period. Go to pompscryptocourse.com to learn more, and I'll meet you guys for the next episode.